Welcome to today's edition of the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm your host, Lori Boyer. In addition to feature reports, I'll bring you a look at regional and national agricultural news. And the show starts with a look at California agricultural news.
Early registration for the 2024 Crop Consultant Conference, hosted by Progressive Crop Consultant Magazine and Western Region Certified Crop Advisors, is now open. The popular event for certified crop advisors, pest control advisors, grower applicators, and industry professionals is the mainstay for all continuing education needs this year and will take place on September 25th and 26th at the Visalia Convention Center. Visit myaglife.com/events for the early discounted rate of $275 per person, which includes the live conference, a trade show with 70-plus exhibits, first-class dining, entertainment, and a mixer. We'll see you there.
Shoppers embraced festive avocado dishes during the fourth quarter holidays. Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's Eve weeks generated higher avocado dollar sales compared to 2022, according to the recently released avocado sales recap from the Haas Avocado Board. Avocado volume and dollar sales during Christmas week grew 3%, adding 1.2 million units and 1.3 million to the category. Avocado sales during the festive holiday in the U.S. totaled 144.8 million units, generating $161.3 million in retail sales. HAB is committed to equipping the entire industry for success and produces quarterly reports on holiday retail sales performance nationwide. These reports offer valuable insights for retailers, category managers, marketers, and industry leaders to optimize holiday promotions and identify avenues for enhancing avocado sales in the upcoming year. California's supply of organic garlic is winding down as the season comes to a close. They're just working through the last of the California storage crop, and that's sustaining as long as the quality is there, which it has been, according to Jared Hunting of Earl's Organic Produce. He says supply-wise from California, it's pretty comparable to last year, and they're extending it a little bit longer on larger sizes. As for demand, he says it is strong. For the last few years, they've seen some modest increases in demand, and says that consistent pricing and good quality have gone a long way in keeping demand strong on staple items such as garlic, as well as onions and potatoes. With several different districts chipping in, organic blueberry supplies are on the rise, with promotable volume expected towards the end of April, according to a couple of California-based grower shippers. California Giant Berry Farms is currently harvesting organic blueberries from Oxnard and California's San Joaquin Valley, as well as Mexico, according to Kyla Oberman, Director of Marketing for the Watsonville, California Company. Additional volumes are anticipated from Florida at the end of the month. These regions will produce until late May, mid-June, at which point their Pacific Northwest season begins. Oberman added that ample supplies of fresh organic blueberries will be available and promotable from late April through mid to late May. Currently, volume is expected to be up approximately 15% from last year. This is pending any unforeseen weather events such as frost, she said, adding that production from both coastal California and the San Joaquin Valley are earlier than the past 2 years, in which growers had to cope with delayed maturity that she characterized as being historically late. When promoting blueberries to consumers, Oberman urged retailers to follow the recommendations of the U.S. High Bush Blueberry Council's marketing efforts that align blueberries with exercise recovery. USHBC is an industry-wide organization that promotes blueberries generically. California Giant's representative noted that the research is exploring how blueberry consumption may help to address a wide range of health needs, including exercise recovery. Oberman relayed that blueberries are a good source of vitamin C, which means they have antioxidant and anti-inflammatory properties to support muscle recovery. Stephen Paul, who is the Dishes Category Director at Homegrown Organic Farms in Porterville, reported that organic blueberry production for their growers is currently focused in Southern California in the hilly environs of Moore Park in Ventura County. He says they are right in the middle of harvest in that district, noting that the crop is running a bit late because of a series of rainstorms the first 3 months of the calendar year. He says it's a very diverse coastal region, and they are still learning about the region and which varieties do best there and their timing. Paul noted that while the HGO-affiliated growers have been growing organic blueberries for half a dozen years in this area, this is the first year the company is marketing that fruit. The fruit is being picked, bought in their shed and pre-cooled the same day, and it's being packed and shipped the following day, he said, adding it makes for an excellent quality pack that is very fresh. He added that once the volume starts coming, homegrown organic farms should have steady supplies of organic blueberries well into September, and explained that the harvest will move north to the northern end of the San Joaquin Valley in late spring, with California providing the majority of its supplies through June. Then the harvest will move up to Oregon for July, August, and much of September. Los Angeles-based Berry Fresh anticipates a robust fall crop, including increased volume of the market's most in-demand genetics for blueberries and blackberries. They're working with their customers to improve their genetic offerings and reflect what they need in their market, according to LaDan Chafin, marketing director at Berry Fresh. She says better genetics is the future of the berry category. Berry Fresh has several new blueberry varieties currently growing in test plots in Mexico and Peru, including the popular Oz Blueberry. The company plans to go to market with the Oz Blueberries this fall, according to Chafin. She said they will be one of the bigger companies to offer Oz Blue. These are great berries that you can never get your hands on, she says. Oz Blue and other breeder partners like Australia's IQ Berries provide opportunities for the company to emphasize the fruit's superior flavor and texture, qualities becoming increasingly valued in blueberries, she said. Blueberries have grown very fast in consumers' view of health benefits, but they're catching up when it comes to flavor. Seeing the blueberry category continuing to improve in flavor for consumers is really exciting, she said. Berry Fresh aims to prioritize messages displaying blueberries as nostalgic and snackable instead of just a nutrient-rich filler for smoothies. Blueberry growers founded and still operate Berry Fresh, the company which serves as the North American headquarters for global berry grower and distributors agroberries. They also grow, market, and distribute blackberries and raspberries. California Avocado Commission's new marketing program takes consumers inside the groves, multi-generational families, and deep roots behind the Golden State's avocado industry. Titled What's Inside a California Avocado, the advertising and social media campaign spotlights what CAC calls the California difference by going straight to the groves, showcasing growers, and focusing on communication of locally grown and sustainably farmed. The ads were filmed in California's avocado groves in San Diego and Ventura counties and feature two multi-generational families of California avocado growers, the Serratos and the Lambs, according to a news release. The campaign is about confidently leaning into what makes California avocados different and special compared to other regions, according to CAC Vice President of Marketing Terry Splain. Ag tech company BioConsortia, based in Davis, says it has raised $15 million in an internal funding round. The company, which discovers, designs, and licenses microbial products, said the funding will aid the development of microbial products through gene editing to control nematode, fungal, and soil insect pests. It will also help BioConsortia broaden its field trial programs in key agricultural regions globally, according to a news release. The company said it will use some funds to expand its Davis, California lab and upgrade its formation and formulation capabilities with the hope of commercializing its biofungicide, bionematicide, and post-harvest decay controls this year.
There was reservation in Dave Rosardo's voice last month about whether or not California would meet snowpack expectations by the end of March, but March came in as was needed, he said. Rosardo, who heads California Department of Water Resources Hydrology Unit, said, given the dry and warm late start to the 2024 season, this is good news.
March, if you recall, started out kind of wet and snowy. And that we were like, okay, that's good news. And we actually expected March to really dry out and be warm, which it did. It did for the middle of the month. And we actually saw some low elevation snow melt. But we ended March with a couple other snowstorms. In fact, last week, I think it was felt like the coldest storm to me that we've had all year. And so again, March was oddly normal. We don't get to say that too often. And I think it's overall positive news where the snowpack ended up this year.
The final snow survey of the year for April was taken last week and showed above average snowpack for the second straight year. The April measurement is critical for water managers as it's considered the peak snowpack for the season and marks the transition to spring snowmelt into the state's rivers and reservoirs.
The Northern Sierra, the numbers came in about 115% of average. In the Central Sierra, this is sort of the Stanislaus River down through the San Joaquin, About 100% of average. And then the Kings River south to the Kern, like I said, a little bit below average, 93% of average. Our automated snow sensors tell a really similar story. In fact, those numbers are a little bit higher right now because we had that little snowstorm that came through, what, earlier in the week or, well, or late last week. So again, everything's sitting either slightly above or right around average. And this is really important regardless of the year. Our snowpack is, it could account up to 30 to 35% of our freshwater runoff that's available in the state. I know there's sometimes a tendency to say, well, last year we had 200, almost 300% of average snow, so shouldn't everything be great? And that is great. And obviously the reservoirs were very full because of that. But as we always say, every year is still, you still got to earn it every year. And we were really, really nervous about that to start this year off. So we got what we needed. That should be able to sustain pretty good reservoir levels, throughout the summer and the fall for this year. Because that snowpack is really so crucial to that source of fresh water supply for California.
While current reservoir levels are above their respective averages, up 116% above average statewide, California again has to be mindful of capturing this year's spring runoff in a manner that will keep those reservoirs high. There are challenges ahead as the spring runoff begins. The dry start to the year, soot and ash from burn scars that accelerates snow melt, and other factors may result in below average spring runoff, which can impact water availability.
We always say 100% snow does not equal 100% runoff. And that's just because Mother Nature, we got to pay a tax. Mother Nature is going to take some in terms of, replenishing the soil moisture. We lose some to the solar radiation and evaporation. And then when the winds come through, that's going to take some off the top too. And that's just natural processes. Certainly in areas where it's been extremely dry, like we've had some pretty severe droughts, you'll lose more to the soils. And we had a really warm and dry fall. So that's still a concern. Our bulletin 120 is our forecast of the runoff, the April July runoff, kind of the snowmelt runoff, if you will. And the April 1st forecast will get published on April 9th. And what we're looking at is forecasts that will range from 83% of average to 111% of average. So that's a pretty wide spread, but to break that down, sort of in the Northern Sierra, we're looking at about 90% of average for the Sacramento River right below Lake Shasta, up to about 110% in the Trinity. In the Central Sierra, really the low one is the Cosumnes River, the 83% of average. Otherwise, I think most of those rivers are above 90%, all the way up to 100% on the McCollumee. And then as you get down into the Southern Sierra, everything's right around average, and 97% on the Tule, ranging up to 103% on the Kern. So again, you can see where some of the watersheds aren't quite at 100%, and that's to be expected, but it's still pretty close to average. Now, one thing we really need to look for moving forward. So the April-July runoff, that's the forecast, which means we still have April, May, and June that do contribute in terms of both expected precipitation and our runoff rates actually coming through like we would expect. And if either of those come in less than we might expect, then the forecast will come down as well. Now, I know we don't get a lot of precip in June, so it's not like we need to get a lot in precip in June to sustain what we need. Yeah. But, April still can be a wet month, and May certainly has had its times where it can be wet. So that's one thing we look for. There's some real easy metric. Are we kind of getting average rain in those months? And then is there some reason why the runoff rates would suddenly start to decrease? Now, that might be an indicator like, uh-oh. Maybe we're losing some of this runoff to the soils or something else. Those are just two really easy ways for us to look. And if we see those coming in lower than expected, then we'll drop the forecasts accordingly. Conversely, if we get a wet spring, The forecasts, you would expect them to go up a little bit.
To stay up to date on California's current hydrological conditions, visit cww.water.ca.gov. For My Ag Life, I'm Taylor Chalstrom. By partnering with JCS Marketing Incorporated, your company can achieve 3.5 million impressions to growers, consultants, and industry professionals annually. Our comprehensive media suite, which includes prestigious publications as well as dynamic websites, targeted emails, engaging podcasts, and premier trade shows, provides a strategic platform for targeting key decision makers. This approach can amplify your company's visibility to a specific audience and fosters meaningful connections, positioning your brand at the forefront of the agricultural community. Don't wait for success to come to you. Call our office today at 559-352-4456. That's 559-352-4456.
Chris Galen with the National Milk Producers Federation says that bird flu is not new news, but what is new is that it is being found in dairy cattle.
That's what makes this an unusual situation. I think the good news is that everything we've seen so far indicates that even though wild birds have introduced this to a handful of herds, it's only about a dozen at this point, it doesn't seem to bother or infect most of the animals in those herds. Most of the animals come back after being ill. They return to feed consumption and milk production, and it doesn't seem to be really transmitted to people. So it's something we're going to have to manage and continue monitoring. I know it's a lot of people are anxious, but a lot of it has to do with the unknown simply because we haven't had to deal with this virus in cattle before.
He adds that National Milk is reminding and encouraging dairy operations that biosecurity is paramount after finding bird flu in several U.S. states.
It's where we didn't think it was going to be an issue, but lo and behold, Mother Nature has other plans. And so we're going to have to step up our efforts to be biosecure and in particular look at bird control because it's not a mystery as to how this got introduced.
Right.
We know it was transmitted from wild birds. And so it's a challenge for a lot of farms that are close to the flyways where we're seeing birds migrate this time of year. But that's the issue, right? It's not something that's just magically appearing. It's coming from the sky, but it's coming from a source that we know. So at least that gives us then the opportunity to focus our resources on what's going to try to mitigate any further spread of the virus.
Galen says that USDA cites the fact that the milk pasteurization process kills bugs like this and other bugs. Thus, it is safe for humans to drink the milk from the cattle that may have been infected with the bird flu. National Milk has a webpage dedicated to highly pathogenic avian influenza resources, including updated development and biosecurity tips. And all eight major fertilizer prices are higher compared to last month. This marks the second time that all fertilizer prices have been higher this winter and early spring. Urea was 8% more expensive compared to last month and had an average price of $576 a ton. UAN 28 was 5% higher in price and looking back a month had an average price of $360 a ton. The remaining six fertilizers were slightly more expensive compared to last month. DAP had an average price of $779 a ton. MAP was at $827. Potash at $513, 1034-0 at $632, anhydrous at $794, and UAN 32 at $404 a ton.
The infrastructure is not there, and the consumers. There's been a definite pullback from a consumer perspective on the purchasing of electric, especially all battery electric vehicles.
Recent media coverage cites reports by automakers and retailers of slowing EV sales and a very limited number of new charging stations built, with just seven in the last 2 years, a tiny fraction of the 2030 goal of 500,000. Brain Camp argues the best solution is to combine technologies and for the administration to let America's farmers help power the future.
I think at some point they're going to have a realization that the sweet point here is a plug-in hybrid concept. And that's where we want to make sure that those plug-in hybrids turn into flex-fuel vehicle plug-in hybrids, because we think that would be the best of both worlds.
But Brain Camp says environmentalists want a total end to fossil fuels, even if no tailpipe vehicles have upstream emissions from electric generation. The danger, of course, is regulatory whiplash if there's a change in administrations next year.
If it is the Trump administration moving forward, they're going to be pulling back quite aggressively on what the Biden administration has put forward.
Starting with tailpipe emissions and other all-electric vehicle incentives. The American Farm Bureau Federation and other U.S. ag stakeholders want updated reference prices in the next farm bill. Farm News reporter Chad Smith has more on the particulars.
As input prices go up and commodity prices go down, farmers rely on the reference prices in the farm safety net to help stay in business when margins get squeezed. Betty Resnick, an economist with the American Farm Bureau Federation, explains the basics of reference prices.
Reference prices play an essential role in the ARC and PLC programs, which along with crop insurance and other programs make up the farm safety net. The safety net's goal is to keep farms in business during periods of low farm income, as our farmers play such an important role in both our country and the world's food security.
She talks about why reference prices need to be updated in the next farm bill.
So statutory reference prices have not been updated since the 2014 farm bill, which was over a decade ago. The world has changed a lot since then. We've had a global pandemic. We've had record fertilizer prices. We've had massive supply chain issues due to global conflicts and other factors, and some of the worst inflation we've seen in many people's lifetimes. The cost of production of agriculture has also steeply increased with these changes. For some of the crops in the program, costs have increased upwards of 40% or more since introduction, and that's after prices have kind of settled back down over the past few years.
There are several ways to raise reference prices, but AFBF hasn't advocated for one specific fix.
We at the American Farm Bureau are advocating for an increase in reference prices for all crops, but leave the specifics of that to our legislators on Capitol Hill. But we do need a farm bill, and we are eagerly awaiting their plans.
What is the Regional Conservation Partnership Program? USDA Undersecretary of Agriculture Robert Bonney explains the RCPP program.
The Regional Conservation Partnership Program has been around since the 2014 Farm Bill, and it's designed to allow partners at the local level put together conservation projects to address local concerns. Maybe it's the loss of agricultural lands. Maybe it's addressing wildlife conservation or nutrient management or improving agricultural and forestry or ranching practices, put together projects with partners and to utilize NRCS resources in a flexible way to address those programs. So in many ways, it strengthens local partnerships to allow us to address environmental concerns.
USDA Undersecretary of Agriculture Robert Bonney. The ethanol industry says the Biden administration's push for an all-electric vehicle fleet is on a collision course with reality. The Renewable Fuels Association says at some point tax policies, infrastructure shortcomings, and tough new auto emission standards to force a switch to all EVs will hit a roadblock. Troy Bradenkamp is with the Renewable Fuels Association.
JCS Marketing is your number one way to connect with the ag industry. Through print magazines, digital media, podcasts, and live and virtual events, JCS Marketing has the reach to inform, educate, and influence growers in the Western United States.
Everywhere you go, you see West Coast Nut Magazine on every one of my customers' tables. So that tells you everything. It's there, so they're reading it.
Our My Ag Life platform includes podcast interviews and digital articles for busy professionals on the go. Our live events, continuing education webinars, and virtual conferences help growers connect with leading researchers and industry leaders. Let JCS Marketing help you connect.
That will wrap up today's show. You've been listening to the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm Lori Boyer. From all of us here at the JCS Marketing Team, thank you for listening.